It's the early 1970s, and the young Ernest Koo was hard at work.
Is that a Chevrolet Camaro?
Ernest might have gasped as a classic American muscle car stopped by the workshop. Cars like these were quite rare in the Philippines because few could afford them, and the government was pushing for smaller, more efficient cars.
Hey, boy. Do you think your dad is around?
The driver called.
The bumper on this needs fixing.
If you want it fixed, I could do it.
Ernest grinned. His father had loved cars, a passion that was then adopted by Ernest. But to cultivate his interest into something more useful, his dad trained him in maintaining them.
Go and have a coffee. I'll have it fixed in no time.
Okay, kid. But if I find my Camaro damaged...
Yeah, don't worry. I've worked on these before.
Ernest was probably telling the truth. In 1973, the Philippines was under protectionist policy by then-President Ferdinand Marcos, who instituted the Progressive Car Manufacturing Program. It was a policy to increase foreign car brands' reliance on local manufacturers, thus stimulating the economy. It seemed plausible that as more local people understood how foreign cars were built, they too became good at fixing them. Furthermore, the administration was actively pushing the adoption of smaller cars that more Filipinos could afford. And with more cars on the street, more cars needed servicing, and the Koo family's business flourished. By the end of the day, the Chevrolet was fixed and returned. The Koo family were living in great times, with the dad exploring new businesses and his mother running the operations. He would learn the value of hard work and discipline from both of them. The young Ernest Koo was hopeful for what was to come, but he would be wrong. The family would soon experience rapid changes in the country. And to his father's credit, he would try many things, including running an air conditioning business. But somehow, they could never scale. At a young age, Ernest was both able to benefit from the good times and also observe the bad times, when his parents failed to catch the business cycles properly. He learned that a business could either be run or run to the ground if the industry was in your disfavor. Years later, as the information age began transforming the world, he would be faced with the same challenge, but with higher stakes. As the new CEO of Globe Telecom, catching the wrong cycle would risk the livelihoods of thousands under him. From 1UP Media, this is Empires, episode 3 of a 4-part series. A world of change.
Spoke to him earlier today, Ernest Koo of Globe Telecom. He is actually the only Filipino executive to make it to the list.
In 2008, Ernest Koo took over as the deputy CEO of Globe Telecom and was tasked to fully transform Globe and beat out their rivals. A challenge of great urgency, considering that their largest subscriber base in mobile was fast declining from 40% to 33%. But regaining market share would not be an easy task, considering that their toughest opponent was PLDT, a telecom company that at one point had over twice the number of users and operating cash flow, with about 4 times the market value as Globe. PLDT became a mammoth company as it benefited from government protection and lucrative government contracts in the 1970s. But by the end of the 1990s, the industry had gone through rapid change, mostly the liberalization of the market that allowed new entrants to grow, including Globe. In order to maintain their advantage, PLDT then pursued a series of acquisitions, acquiring both Sun Cellular and Smart Communications, consolidating the category as the mobile titan. And their move made them the dominant player, with a 70% share in the local home broadband market, a small but fast-growing segment in the early 2010s. All hope seems lost, until a new age is upon everyone, the information age. Because of technological advancements in the past decade, storing, transforming, and sharing data has become easier. Previously, most information was hard-won and often certified. But now, because information is readily available, it is ongoing and often opinionated. The information age would usher in new users who would consume more information than ever before, and on occasion, even create. This shift would demand more and more data, something that Globe might be able to provide. It's 2010, and Ernest was in Wildflower Cafe and Bakery, Manila, Philippines. In the past year, he had spent time diagnosing the problems of Globe and concluded that the world of call and text was competing on price, convenience, and caller network size. Globe had little advantage in all three. So today, he was going to propose a solution to Jaime, one of their largest investors from the Ayala Group.
Hi, Jaime. Thanks for joining me. Of course, I love our breakfast meetups.
Jaime was excited.
Heard you finally realized what's required to turn Globe around.
Yeah, but I'm not sure if you'll like it.
Okay, let's see.
We've been trying to crack our heads to figure out how Globe could provide value to the consumers in the call and text features. But I realized that maybe we don't have to.
What do you mean? Call and text is a huge part of the industry. Researchers at IDC estimate it'll grow another 10% this year.
I get that. And of course, I don't mean we abandon it. I mean, we've got to build a new revenue stream that's defensible. Something that PLDT had done well, but with calls.
You mean their landlines?
Yep, exactly that. But for the internet, it'll be a massive overhaul of our hardware to ensure that we can deliver the highest quality of internet.
I mean, good connectivity always sounds great. But that's going to be expensive.
Yeah, $1 billion.
A billion?
Yeah, we've got to double up our capital expenditure for the next few years for this to be effective. But this will likely put us on top.
I like the sound of being the best, but $1 billion is a lot.
I agree, Jaime. To be honest, I wouldn't ask if we didn't need it. My team and I have already laid down plans to rework our company culture and to streamline processes. But given the infrastructure, there's no way culture alone will be enough.
Jaime seemed convinced, likely because he trusted Ernest.
I hear you, Ernest. You know what? Let me talk to Singtel and let's see what we can do about it.
As both men ended their breakfast, Jaime turned to Ernest one last time and said,
"Hey, Ernest.
Yeah?
If we get that $1 billion, we better be the best."
Investing $1 billion was not easy for the Ayala Corporation. It was about 18% of their market capitalization at the time. Nonetheless, they worked together with Singtel to enable $1 billion injection of fresh funds into Globe. Immediately, the team got to work to not only build a powerful infrastructure, but one that could be easily repaired and upgraded. One issue with their current design was the number of suppliers that built it. The partnership was a Frankenstein nightmare between Cisco, Nokia, Ericsson, and OneWay. In order to ensure the new system was scalable, they decided to streamline their suppliers, only going with one to modernize the entire infrastructure. This way, Globe employees wouldn't have to manage multiple companies, and the partner would understand all parts of the infrastructure seamlessly. It was an astronomical undertaking, and Ernest himself admitted years later that
it was almost like changing the engines, the wings, and navigation system of a commercial airplane at the same time, while in flight and carrying passengers.
As the long-term overhaul was underway, Ernest and his team then turned their attention towards Globe's culture.
Tell me the logic once again.
Ernest was confused.
Consumers only have a few choices when it comes to telecom subscriptions. A portion is bound to pick us,
an analyst explained. For the past few minutes, Ernest was trying to understand what employees thought about their product and why people would buy it. Somehow, a portion of employees had assumed telecommunications was like a public good, like power or water.
So I assume you believe that we're like a utilities company then?
Ernest asked.
Yeah, I would think so.
Conversations like this would plague Ernest, which he eventually dubbed the utility mindset. Literally, the mindset of someone who may work in a utility company. Of course, he meant no harm, but his point was that an employee in a competitive market such as telecom had better get out of this thinking. Tossing and turning in bed, he decided this attitude needed a major overhaul. It was not the Globe way. Through his past experience in BPO, he realized that if a market is less differentiated in its product, it can differentiate itself through its customer service. This would require all employees to shift from a utility mindset to a customer-centric mindset. But first, he had to solve some major issues. He instructed the executive team, and these instructions then flowed to mid-level management to engage all employees. The objective was simple. Find out what would make them happy working at Globe, and if it was reasonable, then management would approve it. Bit by bit, the team improved on their benefits and facilities. While Globe Telecom was not perfect, international observers started noticing the change in employee engagement within Globe. And in 2013, they caught the eye of the Stevie Award Committee. The Stevie Award emerged after the Enron scandal. Back in the early 2000s, Enron, an American commodities firm, alongside Arthur Andersen, an accounting firm, had misled investors.
The collapse of the deal between Enron and Dynegy has left Enron employees stunned, many of them wondering if they'll be getting their next paycheck.
Through clever accounting loopholes and off-balance sheet transactions, executives successfully hid debt and losses from the public. At its peak, Enron had over $60 billion in market capitalization that came crumbling down when discovered. After the collapse, policymakers sought ways to reaffirm the public that other large companies were not fraudulent. The results were new policies and practices, as well as the Stevie Awards. It was, as the New York Post puts it, a way to distinguish the good guys from the scoundrels. In 2013, Globe Telecom won their first Stevie. Then, the year after, and almost every year since.
Joining us from Metro Manila, Philippines, Globe Telecom is a Stevie Award winner in the 2018...
With employees more engaged, Ernest and his team then deployed the internal campaign named I Love Globe, a title considered less cheesy in its time. The I Love Globe campaign consists of 10 service commitments, which were meant to shift the utility mindset into customer centricity. It seemed foolproof. Identify what customers need, then follow these commitments, and all would be solved. But identifying what customers wanted would prove to be a challenging task, particularly in Globe's retail outlets. The logic goes that a customer would find waiting in line to be annoying. So getting them out is the priority. To enable that, the first revamped Globe Telecom stores were made minimalist, small, empty, with at most plastic dummy phones of different models. The idea is a customer would quickly enter, wait for their phone to get serviced, then quickly leave with minimal distractions. But in reality, there's a certain amount of time needed to service a phone before you start compromising on quality. Interestingly, customers were already well aware, and to an extent, they accepted the fact that the waiting time would be long. Instead, when they were in the store without their phones, they would want to find ways to pass the time, including sampling new technology. Globe realized that in an environment where waiting times could not be cut down further, customers wanted their time spent meaningfully. Immediately, the next generation of stores had integrated experience zones designed to showcase the latest technology and service that Globe had to offer. They also had staff available to explain things to those who wanted to learn more. In the years that followed, Globe Telecom went through rapid transformation and pivots enabled by the decisions made in both infrastructure and culture. One pivot was in 4G. Initially, they had designed their infrastructure for 3G, but the rapid advancement of technology enabled 4G LTE much earlier than expected. Thankfully, because they worked with only one partner, the upgrade to 4G was made smoother. Improved infrastructure also led to huge leaps in customer service. Previously, build changes were run on a batch system, meaning that someone who signs up for Globe service could only get access on a specific date. Now, they could do it in real time and enable more efficient push promotions. Another huge change was the access to product analytics. Previously, many relied on gut feel. Now, employees could actually track customers' habits. As Globe Telecom transformed, the whole world was transforming with it. The information era had hit the Philippines when Android competitors began releasing smartphones several times cheaper than the iPhone. With access to affordable smart technology, the need for reliable internet outweighed the need for landline connectivity. The advantage that PLDT had was fast disappearing. By the end of 2016, Globe had exceeded PLDT's 63 million strong subscriber base. And in 2017, Ernest Koo was named CEO of the Year. For perspective, from 2013 to 16, Globe's revenues increased by 33% to 120 billion pesos, and net income had tripled to 16 billion. During this time, to PLDT's credit, they had continued expanding and upgrading their distribution network. But it was built on a clunky legacy system. This resulted in customers encountering fluctuating mobile speeds, alternating between highly rapid and extremely sluggish. Their reputation of being terrible service providers, mostly during the era of Marcos, had caught up with them, and moves to clean up this image had backfired. Liza Soberano, a popular celebrity in the Philippines, had tweeted about a competitor network's slow speed. PLDT saw this as an opportunity and within 2 days had upgraded Liza's network with a 300 Mbps connection. PLDT's quick response to a celebrity and over-the-top service was echoing its controversial past, where PLDT prioritized the elites to win government contracts. A flurry of netizens started complaining, some even tagging the celebrity in hopes that PLDT would also prioritize them. If you must know, PLDT did not. In the years that followed, both would continue competing aggressively, but Globe would prove to be an equal or greater match. Post-2015s, the world started shifting once again, as data became more reliable and accessible to everyone. At the same time, because consumers were becoming creators, they prioritized their personal data space to store more personal content, such as their travel photos, videos, or written diaries. To save on storage, streaming became favored over downloading, which began the streaming wars. With a population of over 100 million and one of the highest English literacy rates in Asia, the Philippines was an ideal market for streaming giants to expand, if only Filipinos were willing to buy it. To Globe, this was a problem that they could solve, starting first with Spotify. Globe convinced them that consumers first needed to try Spotify to believe that it could be worth its price. And what better way for them to try than Globe's in-store experience zones? Better yet, Globe offered to use their own staff to explain to those who were still uncertain about Spotify. It was an offer that no subscription company could refuse, and soon others were interested. At the time, these negotiations also allowed Globe to offer exclusive contracts at about $3 a month for Spotify if sold through Globe. In comparison, most Spotify subscriptions around the region were upwards of $5. Over time, they would also develop freemium options and bundles before realizing that producing their own content could be a meaningful way to diversify. Globe Studios, better known as Anima, was thus born. Anima was a content creation studio that initially focused on original films and series before expanding to branded social content for corporate clients. It was Globe's response when TV networks were exerting control over local content. Instead of subjecting themselves to control, Globe decided to produce their own content, utilizing Globe Telecom's data to determine viewers' preferences. In 2016, Anima produced Birdshot to positive reviews, and this became the first Filipino film released worldwide by Netflix. By intention, Globe Telecom was repositioning themselves from being a data provider to becoming a digital lifestyle enabler. A huge shift in strategy that would have far-reaching consequences. First to the 10 million Filipinos working overseas, and then to the rest of the 100 million in the motherland. You see, in 2017, Globe would seek better ways to enable a digital lifestyle, which would lead it to realize that a reliable digital financial infrastructure must be in place. Exploring its own suite of applications, Globe would find GXchange, a wholly owned subsidiary, started back in 2004. GXchange was their first foray into digital payments. It created an application that offered mobile services via text. But it never took off, and the project was left in stasis. But now, with fresh eyes, Globe would take the application, give it a fresh paint job, and then attract a Chinese behemoth, Ant Financial, the financial entity of Alipay, an e-wallet with 1.3 billion users. Together, they would invest, build, and relaunch the obscure application, which they renamed GCash, that would become the Philippines' first unicorn and spark the fintech wars. From 1UP Media, this is Empires, episode 3 of a 4-part series, A World of Change. Next in Empires, we'll learn about the rise of the two largest startups in the Philippines and the war that's taking the fintech world by storm. Follow us so you won't miss out on episode 4 of our 4-part series, Fintech Wars, GCash versus Maya. Empires is a 1UP Media original, produced and edited by Guang Jin. Audio experience by Ethan Sam, and narrated by Luis Cruz. A quick word on our reenactments and dramatizations. While we can't know exactly what they say, think, or feel at the moment, it is all based on research. Thank you for listening.